Back to pass, fade right, end zone, Rudolph, caught, touchdown, back right of the end zone. Kyle Rudolph, a guy named Rudolph, hauls in a touchdown on Christmas weekend.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Happy holidays from all of us here at the Vikings Entertainment Network. I'm Paul Allen, and this is Vikings Live at Winter Park, the final edition into the Chicago Bears game. And we started, per usual, with Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios here at Winter Park. The Bears coming up this weekend, Leslie. We'll chat about that momentarily. How's Adrian Peterson doing?
You know what? He's coming along. He's going to have surgery done. And, you know, he's a guy who attacks everything, Paul, with great vigor. We're expecting him to make it back from this surgery and be as good or better than he was before.
What did you feel inside when you saw that playback, when you reviewed the game and you saw that play? How'd you feel?
It kind of makes your stomach drop a little bit. Here's one of your top players, I mean, arguably our best player, and to see the hit that he took and the fact what it resulted in, that's an empty feeling, but you know who Adrian is, you know what he's all about, and just in my mind, I'm saying, you know, he'll make it back.
How closely will you monitor his rehab?
Oh, very closely. He's a franchise guy for us, so we'll continuously monitor his progress along the way.
You personally, as the head coach, will he rehabilitate the AC and or MCL here? Will he do it in another part of the country or both? And if it's not here, you know, will you periodically check in, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, he'll do part of it here, but he may end up doing some of it in another city. But we'll be in constant contact with him throughout his rehabilitation.
You hurt your knee in the second quarter of that Super Bowl win, the 1985 Bears. What do you remember about that off the injury, and is there anything you can share with Adrian Peterson?
You know, what I remember is just being in denial about the fact what they were telling me, that it was probably an ACL until after the surgery was done.
It was on a pump play, too, right?
It was on a pump play, yeah, a trick play. So, but what I tried to share with Adrian was, you know, although it sounds like it's something that could be career-ending, in today's medicine, things are so, so different. Guys come back from ACLs all the time. I just wanted to encourage him just to, work as hard as he can, and he'll be back playing again.
Good thing you have Toby Gerhardt. And you know what? On Toby's run, that long run at Landover, longest run this year by a Viking, Toby gets the headlines because he's the one that almost got to the end zone. Mm. But your tight ends, your fullback slash tight end, Ryan DiImperio, along with Kyle Rudolph, boy, they really paved the way nicely for him.
Yeah, no question. Ryan did a great job along with Kyle. The blocking on that play was exceptional, Paul. And you normally, that's what has to happen whenever you break a long run like that. And you have to give Toby credit for the burst that he showed through the hole. But our blocking was impeccable on that play.
What are some things Toby does well that makes him a viable running back in the NFL? I think you can now call Toby Gerhardt a viable running back in the NFL.
Well, when you take a look at what he does after contact, if you talk to any running backs coach, I mean, they'll tell you that's one of the ways they grade running backs as to whether or not they can make it at our level. And it's rare that you see one guy bring Toby down. I mean, it's usually, you know, Toby falling forward or breaking a tackle. And that's exactly what you want when you're talking about a top-notch running back.
You know, with Toby, like Adrian Peterson, not to completely compare the two, but they're both bruising running backs. And, you know, Adrian can obviously hit the home run better, but, you know, Toby has some things to his game that teams would covet too. Is it virtually impossible to tackle them high? I mean, you get trucked if you come at it that way. Come at it from the side, especially with Adrian, that's going to be tough,
right?
Which means the only other place is below the waist.
Yeah, and you've seen guys trying to tackle both Toby and Adrian below the waist and with not a lot of success unless they get them around the ankles. And both of those guys play a very good pad level. Toby in particular gets his pass down and makes it very tough for defenders to tackle him in open field.
Benny Sapp's coverage on that one-handed touchdown by Jabari Bar Gaffney, I thought was pretty nice. I've been impressed with the way Benny's finished the season. Have you, and will he be in the mix next year?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. Benny has really competed, you know, every snap that he's gotten, and you got to consider the fact that he was out of football for a number of weeks, and to come in and play as hard as he's played for us has really been a boost for us. And so we're going to evaluate, you know, whether or not he'll be a part of what we're doing in 2012, but based on what he's done in the short time he's been here, we've all been very impressed.
Last show, last crack at you on the Vikings Radio Network, so I will forecast just a little bit, and you just share whatever you can, and if you're not completely squared away on it, we totally understand. Any chance Cedric Griffin or Antoine Winfield play safety next season?
Man, it's hard to predict at this point. You know, we'll have to look at what happens with our roster and see where it goes.
Can you rule it out?
Wouldn't rule it out. Not at this point. Not when you look at how depleted our secondary has been throughout the second half of this season. So, no, I would not rule it out.
Jimmy Kleinsaucer's final game this weekend. Share some thoughts you have about number 40.
Just a true pro in every sense of the word, Paul. A guy who comes to work with that lunch pail, works extremely hard, is a great role model for young players coming in our league who don't quite know what it requires to be successful. His work ethic, his professionalism, just a true warrior in every sense of the word, and I've enjoyed having a chance to work with him.
This game this weekend at your Wednesday press conference, you said, sorry to share company secrets, but we're going to try to get Jimmy Kleinsaucer a touchdown if we're down by the one. Well, I mean, if anybody heard that and took it totally seriously in Chicago, granted a non-playoff season for them, yeah, they may see it coming, which indicates to me you have something up your sleeve with a way to get him a touchdown, don't you?
Well, we got some things that we've been working on, so we'll see. Hopefully we'll get the opportunities.
How about Jim Kleinsaucer as the tailback, LaTroy Guyon as the fullback, Refrigerator Perry, you know, with Refrigerator Perry in front of Sweetness. Jimmy has a lot of sweetness to his running game, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. That's a pretty good scenario. We might try that.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings live at Winter Park. Our final game this weekend at noon against the Chicago Bears. And with Jimmy, one career, one team, that just doesn't happen much anymore.
No, and it's 13 years with the same team. You know, if that happens, more than likely it's a quarterback. But in this case, here we're talking about a guy who's an H-back / fullback, tight end, offensive lineman, and you just don't see that very much in today's football.
You know, speaking of quarterbacks, Drew Brees has played for multiple teams. Mm-hmm. Even Joe Montana played for multiple teams, so that just further personifies how dedicated Jimmy has been to Minnesota Vikings football. You finally got an interception. It was Mistrail Raymond. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for everybody involved.
Yes. Now, let's get a string going of interceptions, so let's get some interceptions against Chicago.
I swear, in my 10 years, it's one of the craziest things I've seen. And we got the offseason to chat about scheme and players being in certain spots and when we play man and when we don't and all that kind of stuff. 298 consecutive passes without an interception. You'll never see anything like that as long as you live.
No, we don't want to see that again, Paul. So glad that Mistrail got the interception, and hopefully there'll be a lot more to come.
Joe Webb makes plays. No doubt about that. He just finds a way. Joe Webb makes plays.
Yeah, Joe is a special guy, man. Every time he gets on the field, he just finds a way to make plays and really, you know, gets everybody's attention with some of those plays.
And he played significantly from the time that you took over as the interim last year. You know, he had that Monday night game after Corey Wooten knocked Brett Favre out. Mm. We had that game at Ford Field at the end of the season. Of course, the Tuesday night game that he won. Is Joe handling moments much more composed and full of poise this year compared to last year?
He is. The fact that he has a year of experience on his belt really makes a difference. Although it's a different system, just the fact that he's been in the NFL 2 years, it shows. I mean, he's more composed than he was a year ago.
Any regrets you didn't name him starter into the season?
No, I don't know if you can go back and second guess some of the things that we did based on the circumstances that were handed to us. So things are where they are.
Will he be given a chance to win the starting job into next year?
Well, when we end the season, you know, we'll sit down and talk about things. But Christian is our starting quarterback. Joe has done a great job for us, which is good for our organization to have two young guys that are as talented as they are. But Christian is our starting quarterback.
What do you want to see from Christian Sunday when he starts against the Bears?
Just want to see him continue to improve and manage the games and also make some plays when he has an opportunity and play with the confidence that he played with in the Washington game prior to getting injured.
Yeah, what's different about Christian Ponder now from the guy who started against against Green Bay, went right at Charles Woodson with Michael Jenkins. We had that big game against Denver. I liked his game against Carolina. I liked his game against Atlanta, too. And obviously, there were some bumps along the way with those picks against the Raiders, throws it right to the linebacker in the Broncos game. But he's really, really been battered over the last X amount of starts. What's different, and how much has that played into what is different?
Well, that probably has a lot to do with it. I mean, he's taking some hits, and if you're not careful, that'll shake your confidence and make you a little bit jittery. And he did a better job in the Washington game before the injury of just being composed and understanding the situation and playing with a lot of confidence and being loose. In those early games that you mentioned where he played well, I mean, he had an attitude that, hey, I'm just going to go out here and have fun. And I think you have to have that at times.
Are younger players confident, in need of confidence kind of guys? What I'm getting at is Shanko had a bad drop early in the game. If he brings that in, does Christian start to feel a little better about things and the offense starts to work a little more fluidly? Do things like that matter more with younger quarterbacks than veterans who may easily shake things off?
I think if you can have early success, there's no question it helps with confidence as the game goes on. So you like to be able to have some type of pass that he feels good about early in the game plan and let him experience some early success, which will lead to hopefully four quarters of success.
You kind of own D.C. You kind of own land over Maryland. Next time you're there, maybe a meeting with Barack Obama and the family or something like that. You're going to go there next year.
Yeah.
I think they're on the schedule.
Oh, boy, are they? Okay. Well, hey, we'll deal with that when the time comes.
Your team matches up well with the Redskins, doesn't it? I could tell early in the week off the Saints game. Now, granted, they spread out five wide with that nice quarterback and Darren Sproles out of the backfield. Yeah. This is not to diminish what Mr. Shanahan's trying to do there, but for you, when you looked at after the New Orleans fiasco and then you go into this game, was it kind of a relief, you know, to see a team like that that you know you match up well against?
Well, the New Orleans game was a tough game, and the thing about a game like the New Orleans game, Paul, the opponent next is not that important. It's how you rebound from that loss. I mean, you could play a lesser opponent, but if you're still thinking about that game and how poorly you played, it'll carry over to the next game. And fortunately for us, our guys put that game behind them, went out to Washington, got a big win on the road.
On behalf of the Vikings Radio Network, thank you for being so accommodating this year. Sorry for the bad record. Very excited to follow what you, Rick Spielman, and the rest of the guys do in the offseason with the Senior Bowl, up to the combine, through free agency, through the camps, through the draft. Try it again next year, hopefully with Adrian early in the season. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. When we return, offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave talks about Leslie's offense on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Vikings and Bears coming up this weekend, and we are happy now to be joined by Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave into the final game of the season against the Chicago Bears. Mr. Musgrave, sorry things didn't go as well record-wise this year as you probably would have wanted, but from Adrian Peterson's accomplishments before the AC and MCL and, you know, starting the season with a veteran going into the rookie, seeing what Joe Webb has done, Percy Harvin picking it up. There have been some very positive things offensively, don't you think?
Well, there have been, Paul. Appreciate that. We've had a very valuable year. We know that we haven't had the year that we wanted. We want to be more of an important team down here in the stretch in November and December. But proud of the way the guys have battled, and you're right. When Adrian was healthy, he was leading the league in touchdowns, leading the league in rushing. We felt like we were getting him his adequate touches and also developing our passing game along the way.
And one of the subtleties of the season, and it was more so when Adrian Peterson had that high ankle sprain, but you know then he goes down in the second half of the Washington game, and we see Toby Gerhart come in and ramble for the longest run of the season by a Viking. Is the maturation and improvement of Toby Gerhart and just the fact that you know into next season, no matter where Adrian Peterson is week one regular season, you have a guy I feel would start for maybe half the teams in the NFL.
Well, Toby's done a super job. He's real smart, as we know. Even back early in the season, if you remember, against Tampa Bay, he had a big run down our sideline at home. He also had a big screen play against Tampa.
Yep.
He's attained some chunks for us, and we know we can count on him. He's a bruiser, and he may not be the home run hitter that Adrian is, but he's going to hit a ton of singles and doubles for us.
But Toby seems more comfortable in the screen game than Adrian, and I've seen Adrian all of his career. You know, and I also saw Chester Taylor when he was here, and it always looked like Chester was more comfortable in the screen game. And, you know, I don't know how you call call the games, obviously, what goes into what, but it seems like you're very comfortable putting Toby in a spot to catch the ball, specifically with screens.
He does a good job. He has a good feel with that. And Adrian does, too, to his credit. Adrian had a super screen against the Panthers there in Charlotte. Took it in there at the end of the first half.
Middle screen.
So Coach Saxon does a nice job with all the backs in that regard.
What's the season been like for you? First-year offensive coordinator here. 3-12 into the Bears game. Had McNabb to start. You go to the rookie. Joe Webb has lent a helping hand during a along the way, but overall for you, what's it been like?
Well, Sunday nights have been rough because we haven't gotten the outcomes that we want, but during the week we've had a blast. We've got a super staff that I really enjoy working around and working with, and the players have been just first rate. So I know we've been getting better. Sometimes it shows statistically, sometimes it doesn't, but we're headed in the right direction.
It's not your first time being an offensive coordinator in the National Football League, but what is different for you now compared to your previous experience? And in fact, take that a step farther into next year. What do you think will even be different next year?
Well, each year I've coached, Paul, I've learned a ton. And I know I learned a bunch when I was in Atlanta from Mike Mularkey for those 3 years. And so I've really tried to apply those lessons this year. And I know we've learned a ton as a staff here in Minnesota. So we're looking forward to really improving incrementally in 2012.
When you have Adrian Peterson and or Toby Gerhart, and you look at Minnesota Vikings offensive approach and philosophy, the Viking way, if you will, is it fair to say that it is a run-first offense? A run-first offense maybe in a pass-happy league?
Well, this year it's been more effective running the ball than passing. I think that has to do with a little bit of the lack of continuity at the quarterback position. And it's a little bit easier to install a run game system than it is a pass game system. You need time to develop, rapport among quarterback and receivers. And, we've fallen behind in that regard, so we're going to have to make up some ground. Running game-wise, we've got the schemes, the people, the runners to get it done. And we just want to do a better job in the passing game starting with next year.
Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator, Minnesota Vikings, final Vikings live at Winter Park. So in a perfect case scenario, say Adrian Peterson comes back from these injuries and he's where you need him to be in his first season removed from that. And he's a game changer and a home run hitter to a certain extent. Is it best for the Vikings offense for him to, in essence, I don't want to call him a complimentary player, but not have everything start and stop with him and be able to pass specifically more explosively around him while having him?
Well, that's the way we would ideally have it all set up, and that's the way we will have it set up. When you look at the great runners over the years, whether it be Emmitt Smith or Terrell Davis, those offenses also threw the ball. They had great balance.
Yep.
And you can't just give it to a great guy, of course, 60, 70 times a game. But whether those touches come in the first half or the second half, the balance is essential. And that's what we'll strive to be. And this year it just turned out that we were unbalanced in terms of pass and run. Now we've got another game to get it right.
Yep.
And we keep wanting to make strides there. And I'm sure we will continue to do so.
Joe Webb threw a really nice fade to Kyle Rudolph in that Redskins game, didn't he?
That was good. That was a good touch throw by Joe. He dropped it in a shot glass to him there in the corner. And that was encouraging to see. Those type of plays will lead to that balance we're talking about. We won't have to rely as much on Adrian and our runners as we have this year, and we'll be able to stay balanced and also bring up more points.
And sadly, Christian was knocked out of that game with the concussion, and Joe came in and, like Detroit, did a phenomenal job. I mean, three touchdowns in less than a half. Is the play calling markedly different when Joe's in? For instance, from my standpoint, viewing it from afar, you'll see some of those plays with Joe at quarterback where he scrapes along the offensive line in option-like fashion, or maybe I'm missing it, Bill, but you don't necessarily see that with Christian.
You don't. Those are different types of schemes. Those are really from our Wild Hog package, and Joe does a good job with those. Now, ironically, Christian was asked to do a bunch of those type of plays at Florida State, and so if the time came where we wanted Christian to do those, he has the history and the training to do those as well. So there may be a day when we ask him to do those type of plays as well. But it's fun for us to have different concepts and facets to our offense because it just makes us tougher to defend.
Bill, not to diminish the accomplishments of Joe Webb, but is it easier for a backup to come into a game middle of the stream and succeed when the adversary has schemed and paid attention to the starter the majority of the week?
I don't know that I can answer that, Paul. I don't know how different defensive coordinators would adapt or adjust to Joe, but I feel like Joe would be just as good as a starter, and he has shown that as when he comes in. And we're just so fortunate to have Joe and Christian together. Christian's done a super job his rookie year, as we know, throwing for nearly 400 yards against that elite Denver defense and starting off like he did against Green Bay. He's had his rough spots, but even veterans, as we know, there was a veteran here a couple years ago that ran right and threw left for an interception.
Oof.
You know, in a big game. Oof. Just like Christian did against Detroit. So,
and Berrien was open, but anyway.
Well, those are just those are plays that no one ever wants to make, but they happen.
Yeah.
And the key, of course, is learning from them so you can eradicate them and move on and make more positive ones.
You would have run the ball up the middle, setting up for a long, 55-yard field goal, wouldn't you?
Well, that was an incredible game to watch. Huh. As we all realize, even with all the turnovers, the Vikes were in position to win and really had a fantastic team that year, and it would have been fun to see them match up against Indianapolis in that Super Bowl.
Bill, what's the biggest difference between Christian when In his first start against Green Bay, Mall of America Field, he was cocksure and crafty enough to find Michael Jenkins in single coverage against Charles Woodson. I mean, after Charles Woodson had picked him off once or twice, he attacked a future Hall of Famer and closed on the deal. Now you fast forward to what we maybe saw some of the Washington game and certainly some of the Lions game when he was pulled from the game. What are the biggest differences with him that kind of has turned that thing over a little bit?
Well, in the Washington game, he was doing a nice job. We had a couple unfortunate things happen. We had a drop on a big pass on a corner route to a tight end, and then we had a chance to convert on fourth and short where we had a penalty.
Yep.
Those are reflective of us as a group. At times, they reflect upon the quarterback because he gets all the attention.
Yeah.
In the Detroit game, he had his missteps, and he threw a couple interceptions. We had a fumble and things like that, but he also threw those two touchdown passes and also got us down the field a bunch. So he's making strides. Of course, we sometimes take a step back to take two forward, and that's happened a little bit.
Do you sense any side of Christian Ponder in that he has been battered a bit, and he has been sacked a fair amount of times for the amount of starts he's had in half of a season, that maybe he's lost a little bit of his confidence and his feet have gotten a little jittery?
I think he lost a little confidence in his movement when he got hurt, when he got the hip pointer. He didn't feel like he could run away from guys like he could have before. And that really happened in the Detroit game there in the third quarter. Couldn't see Percy, flushed out, was getting ready to run away from defender, and then realized, you know what, I can't. My hip's not 100%, and then tried to throw it late in the down. But when he's healthy, he can run away from guys at this stage of his career, a little bit like John Elway could early on. Now, later in his career, he's going to have to be smart. He won't be able to run away from them, maybe just run with them or make a miss. But right now, Christian's quick enough to run away from these guys at this level.
Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. A couple of quickies to close here. In the Washington game, speaking of Percy Harvin, when the Redskins come with, as you guys say, the zero blitz, I mean, they brought everybody. Here's the deal. You're the backup quarterback. You're not going to see this quickly enough. We're going to hit you. We're going to turn you over. And he found Percy Harvin in the middle of the field in single coverage, and it was a beautiful pass. That was a wonderful, wonderful moment for your backup quarterback.
It was. It was good. And it was good that that happened because we had gone over it on the sideline prior to that series, talking about our third down calls. And that's another thing about this group, Paul. Really have enjoyed the players and the coaches. So many times in a game, when you're not on the field, it's easy to watch the game. It's easy to become a spectator. It's just natural. You're rooting for your defense, and you're hoping that we get the ball back. But really, that's a time where we need to continue to work. And if there's anything where we've made strides this year, it's when we're on the sideline, the defense is out there doing their thing. We can talk about the next series, what happened the previous series, what are our next third down calls. What's the sequence we're going to do next time we get down in the red area? And our red area production has really improved over the last 8 to 10 weeks, and we've done a good job of hopefully preparing the players for what calls will be made, so they've already gone through them in their minds. And that was another case of that with the zero blitz. We talked about it with Percy and Joe, and sure enough, all the stars aligned. They called their blitz. We had our play called, and those two birds made it work.
Hey, Bill, with John Sullivan, he got that 5-year contract extension into the game, or he got the contract extension recently, 5-year extension for John Sullivan. What did you know about John into the season? What did you say to him about what you saw, which I guess would be last year, where he had a calf injury, had some off-the-field situations into training camp, and didn't have a great season, but was a year removed from being the starting center for every game for a Hall of Famer and nearly getting to the Super Bowl. What did you say to him into the season that you wanted to see, and then clearly you guys saw it because he got paid?
Well, Jeff Davidson does a fantastic job with those guys, all of our offensive linemen. And the way we run our ship, the center has a ton of responsibility. He just does. And Sully is as smart as they come. I've known John ever since he was in high school when I used to coach in college at Virginia.
You coached water polo?
Yes, exactly. He played in that tennis shoe league up there in Connecticut.
Yeah, right.
In terms of football, I don't know that it was 11-man. It might have been 8-man football.
Yeah.
But we definitely wanted him to come to UVA and play for us, but he chose Notre Dame. So I followed his career and knew that he had the mental makeup and the athletic ability to be one of the good ones.
How important into next year, Mr. Musgrave, is continuity on your offensive line? I'm not going to put you in a spot to prognosticate what's going to happen in the offseason with players potentially taking pay cuts, free agency, draft, the whole thing, even position changes. But continuity, I would imagine, is very important with that facet of football. So you leave it with Charlie Johnson, Hutchinson / Berger, John Sullivan, Anthony Herrera, and Phil Loadhold. Continuity in the offensive line, your thoughts?
That offensive line is really judged as a unit, as you say. They're not individual components, but they work as a unit. And so much of pass protection, especially, is like basketball. You've got to know where your help is. And so the more you work side by side with a gentleman, you know exactly if he'll be there for you, what the calls are. Sometimes you can know what a guy's thinking without making a call. And that comes, again, like you said, from time on task and continuity. So we'd expect that group to get better and better the more time they have together.
What's the offseason look like for you?
Well, it's an exciting time for us because we get to look back and try to get better. We get to go over every single play, find out if what our impressions were during the season are actually accurate and how we can make it better, whether we want to include it, study other teams that do things better than we do and implement some things that may fit into our system. And then, of course, look at free agents and also draftable players where we can bring in competition to our roster.
As a coordinator, how much say do you have in free agency and or the draft when dealing with Leslie Frazier and Rick Spielman and his staff?
Well, last year we had a ton. It was a super process. We were in the room, and of course, we're always thankful to have any input at all. And we try to do our best in terms of due diligence to make sure we leave no stone unturned in looking at any player that might be a candidate for the Vikings.
I have an interview with Jim Kleinsaucer coming up momentarily in closing, Bill. I know you've only been here a year, and it's right at the end of Jim's career. But from being in the NFL with the Falcons and the other teams, what have you known about Jimmy Kleinsaucer during his career? And what have you been able to glean from his professional approach to game film and studying and stuff like that from just this year?
I've been a fan of his for years. You're right. When he came into the league, whether we'd be matched up with the Vikings when I was with the Falcons or other teams, it's just been fun to watch him play. And to be able to be associated with him this last year has been a true honor. The way he comes in, he's the same guy every day. He's upbeat. He's professional. He's so thorough in his game plan. He knows every single play in that thing. And on Sunday, he may make a couple tips or pointers even to me in between series, which I truly appreciate.
Thank you very much, Bill. Thanks for all the interviews this year on Vikings Live. And I'm sure things will get better for you and the team next year. And on behalf of all of us here, thank you very much for being very kind.
You bet, Paul. Thank you.
Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Jim Kleinsaucer coming up shortly. And with wall-to-wall sports and award-winning wings, Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. Just one more reason why Buffalo Wild Wings is the home of tablegating, wings, beer, sports. An interview with the retiring Jim Kleinsaucer when we return to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Takes the snap. Back to pass on first and goal. Dumps it left and it's caught. Touchdown, Jim Kleinsaucer. Merry Christmas, Jim Kleinsaucer. That's your first touchdown in 4 years. And the first touchdown tonight for the Minnesota Vikings.
And a great catch there by Jimmy Kleinsaucer.
That highlight was from the end of the 2007 season. It also was Jimmy Kleinsaucer's last touchdown. Took place in December against the Washington Redskins. 13 years with the Minnesota Vikings after being selected in the second round of the 99 draft. Jimmy Kleinsaucer retires after this Sunday's Bears game. Carrington, North Dakota Florida native is playing in his 181st game this weekend. First touchdown scored October of 2001 on a two-yard run versus Green Bay. And that highlight you just heard was a pass from Tavares Jackson. And Jim Kleinsaucer joins us now. No touchdowns in 4 years. Guarantee us that you'll get one Sunday. Just make that promise right now.
I just want to win a ball game. That's all I'm going out there for.
Team guy right to the end, right?
You got to be.
Well, Leslie Frazier at his Wednesday press conference said, you know, hey, whether it's 3-12 or what, yeah, we're going to try to get Jimmy Kleinsaucer a touchdown in this game. So instead of being the up guy in the eye, offset or whatever, my suggestion is tailback with guy on in front of you, and let's powerhouse that way.
Oh, that'd be one big mess, I think, with me and guy on. I don't know about that.
Hey, the Bears did it okay with a refrigerator Perry, and I'm sure you have some Walter Payton to you too, right?
I got a few old, you know, moves, you know, still in the bag.
Two NFC title games and a couple of losses. The 2009 game at New Orleans zapped you a little more than the one after the 2000 season, correct?
Oh yeah, that the New York game was probably, I mean, it wasn't like we had a fighting chance from the get-go. But,
well, they stole your plays.
Yeah. They cheated.
Yep.
But that New Orleans game, you know, we, if you were to just look at the box statistics and look at the rushing, the receiving, and the yardage, I mean, just, you know, all over the place, you'd think that we creamed them. But, yep. You know, we got kind of, we stung by our own misfortunes and mistakes. And, that was a tough one to swallow.
Did you have one of your better games as a member of the Viking, the game before that, against the Dallas Cowboys at Mall of America Field with DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer and all those guys?
Yeah. They're a tough group, and I mean, they're pretty darn good linebackers, just big guys, strong and fast. We've always had, had to get hyped up for them, and you kind of change the way your blocking styles with them. But yeah, we had a pretty good game plan, and we went in there and played very well, and we were on a pretty high note right at that point.
How's the body as you head into retirement?
I feel good. You know, I've been fortunate. You know, I've kind of dodged a lot of major injuries. You know, I've only had the ACL, and other than that, you know, it's I've been lucky. You know, I've stayed away from, you know, neck issues and shoulder issues and knee issues for the most part. So you know, I feel good. Got two legs that work great, and head still, you know, on top of my shoulders.
Jimmy Kleinsaucer on Vikings Live at Winter Park. He retires following the Bears game. What are you going to do with all your free time?
Well, I'm just going to go home and be dad for a while.
Good.
Just kind of let the dust settle and wait until my wife kicks me out of the house to go do something else.
your dear friend Steve Hutchinson, unfortunately not able to finish the season due to that concussion. Do you think he'll join you in retirement, or does he want to play more?
I don't know. You know, he's still playing great. He's always been, just one of those solid guys you can always count on. We haven't really touched on that. The concussion thing is, you know, it's a pretty serious matter, you know, when you start thinking about it and all the information we have now. And, Steve decides, he's very close friend of mine now. I'm sure he'll make the best decision for him and his family.
Share some memories with us, Jimmy, specifically 1999 when Jeff George took over at quarterback. It was at Pontiac. It was at the Silverdome when Randall Cunningham kind of tapped out at halftime. You're playing Gus Frerotte and the Detroit Lions. Jeff George taking over in 99.
Yeah, Jeff is one of those, he's a unique personality, as I guess you could say, but probably like one of the greatest arms you'll ever see. He's got the confidence to go with it, and he provided us that boost that we needed. He kind of brought everybody up, and you know, he made just some incredible plays, some incredible throws, and got on a bit of a run, and made it to the playoffs.
Playing for Dennis Green, who brought you into the league in 1999.
Denny is probably, he's a great coach. I mean, you look at him, win-loss wise, but just, as a coach, he wasn't, the overly involved, didn't micromanage. He let the coaches coach. But one thing I really respect about him is when he would come into the meeting, he would always say, "I'm not going to find your butt. I'll cut your butt."
Oof.
So, it's one of those things where, he laid the law down, and he wasn't get out there and yell at, you know, all the time, but you know that he was watching over everything, and you had to take care of business.
Mike Tice, who you will see Sunday in your final game.
I love Mike. We had a pretty good relationship here. I owe a lot of my career to Mike, for bringing me back into the, tight end, H-back role. And really, that's kind of probably what, kept my career going for as long as it has. I think he's a great coach. He's a great offensive mind. He's got that personality. He's outgoing. I think just a real likable guy. I hope he gets another chance to coach a team.
Brad Childress.
Brad, we had some good times here. Brad's one of those guys that psychologically was really he tried to get to the guys not try to get to them, but psychologically kind of try to tinker a little bit, and we had success. We had a lot of success here.
Leslie Frazier.
Leslie, I would say he's more of the hearkening back to like Dennis Green. He's not micromanaging. He's that quiet force back there, and he's watching, and when he needs to, he'll light the fire, but he's not going to be out there yelling and whooping and hollering, and he's going to have a lot of success for a lot of years.
Was Pete Bursich a better player or coach, and why?
Jeez. Is there a D or a C or D option?
Well, you played on the same team with him when you came in 99, and then he was a linebackers coach when you were on the team.
I loved Pete from day one. What a great guy. It really was. He's a guy that, he was just work, he's a guy that did a lot of the dirty work and didn't get a lot of the credit for it. Coming in as a coach, it was kind of funny seeing him, coming as a coach, same way. Just working his butt off, long hours, and just a great guy overall.
And I get that weekly with him calling the games. He puts a lot of work into that too. Jimmy Kleinsaucer is our guest. Couple of quickies to close here. His final game of a 13-year career, all with the Minnesota Vikings, is this Sunday. If a grandkid asks you one day, "Grandpa, what did you do all those years in the NFL?" What will you say?
Blocked.
You were a battering ram.
Yep, I blocked.
Your mom emailed me, by the way. She's very emotional. She wants a recording of the game call with me, Pete, and Greg, offered to pay money for it, which, of course, she's not going to have to do. How does that make you feel?
Man, my parents have, from day one, I couldn't have picked any better parents, from my dad letting me to leave work early on the farm to go lift weights, and never keeping me from any sporting events, and following me around everywhere. My parents are best you can probably have.
Josh McCown is the quarterback for the Chicago Bears this week, and remember that 2003 game where Arizona bumped the Vikings from the playoffs? I was looking back at the game book into this game. It's the first time the team has seen McCown since that day. You almost fell on an onside kick that they captured at the end of the game. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, there was a bit of a bungle. We had, there were two of us going for the ball, and it should have only been me going for the ball. And we kind of bobbled that one up a little bit. That was a tough one.
Close it with just a few highlights from your Vikings career that come into your mind right now. Players, people, games, anything.
I've been asked that. I can't pinpoint a game or situation or season. I just say overall, just being with the guys, being in the locker room, preparing, week in and week out, bleeding and sweating with them, and just joking around and back in the equipment room, and just having like those moments where you're really a part of, something special.
Have you done so many of these interviews leading up to your retirement, it kind of makes you want to stay?
Well, Tom West kids me, I've kind of dodged the media for 13 years, so right. In this one week, I got to make up for 13 years, so I got no problem.
It's been a treat following you. I got a lot of respect for what you did out on the field, on and off the field. Best of luck to you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Paul.
Jimmy Kleinsaucer retires this weekend after the Bears game. You're listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, inviting you to join Paul Charchian and yours truly for the final Friday football feast of the season tomorrow, Friday at Buffalo Wild Wings Grill and Bar in Savage. It is feast number 50. So stop by for the 9 to noon show. Get more information online at my show page, Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. We're joined now on Vikings Live at Winter Park, as we have been all season, by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. The Bears are the bill of fare this weekend. I just mentioned my show page at KFAN.com, the Paul Allen show page, where I know you peek at it occasionally, and you also were kind enough to tweet something I did yesterday. What I did with Josh McCown being the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, I decided to go back through the 2003 Vikings-Arizona Cardinals game book, where the Cardinals won 18-17, one of the more memorable games in the history of Minnesota Vikings football. I know you read it. Were there some things that a younger Wobby didn't remember from that game that maybe were pointed out?
How about Kenny Mixon and Lance Johnstone making plays for the Vikings defense, names that you kind of forget? We've had so many great defensive linemen in our history. Yeah. Those guys aren't in that class, but they made some really good plays. Yeah. So much action in that first half with the fumbles and a lot of quarterback sacks for the Vikings, and we just couldn't capitalize. Josh Scobie, who's the Jacksonville kicker now, there is a guy named Josh Scobie in that game. I remember watching that game and the agony that was that game at the end.
And this is the first time since that 2003 game the Minnesota Vikings will face Josh McCown, who takes over for an ineffective Caleb Haney and a wounded Jay Cutler. McCown looked pretty good in that Christmas game against the Packers.
Yes, and here's the thing, Paul. I mean, this is a game between two teams with for playoff implications, nothing on the line, you would say. Mm-hmm. But this Bears team isn't just going to lay down and let the Vikings win. And I think that for two reasons. One is the defense has three Pro Bowlers, and they take pride in what they do. They're not going to relent. Yeah. But the second is Josh McCown. Here's a guy who a few weeks ago was on his couch. Now he's playing in the NFL, and he's getting the itch again, and he might want a job next season. Well, if he wants a job as a third-string quarterback somewhere next season, he's got to keep playing well, as he did on Christmas night, and as he's going to try and do against the Vikings on Sunday. So this team isn't going to lay down, and Josh McCown's going to play hard.
And it's always entertaining watching games that include Devin Hester. Now, we've been on the wrong side of some Devin Hester punt and kick returns for touchdowns, but he's a game-changer. He's a superstar, and it's always a great challenge trying to slow him.
It is. 17 return touchdowns, NFL record holder for him, and it seems like a lot of them have come against the Vikings. I guess when you play the guy twice a season, you're bound to have some taken to the house on you. Yep. You got to be careful. Chris Clue is one of the best punters in the NFL. He hasn't had his best season the last 2 years, but he knows what he's doing, and you know, really a problem or an issue for the Vikings this season at times has been kick coverage, and it's not Mike Prefer's fault. It's not necessarily the scheme's fault, but we've had so many injuries, especially on defense, especially in the secondary. And on kick coverage teams, a lot of times those guys are defensive backs. So what the Vikings have had to do to make up for Asher Allen being out, or Antoine Winfield being out, or Tyrell Johnson being out, Hussein Abdullah being out, you got to pull guys, your backups, who are your starters on special teams, and it's created some holes at times in our coverage units. So we got to get that buttoned up, because as you've stated, Devin Hester is dangerous.
Wabi, for those listening right now saying, it's New Year's Day. It's a 3-win season. Why should I listen to this game? What intrigues you about Vikings football into this game?
Well, first of all, doing the Vikings.com live game day chats with you and Bursich in the radio booth the last few weeks has been a treat for me, and really fun to listen to you guys do your work. And it's a good broadcast. And that's honestly how I feel about that. On the game, Devin Hester's a reason to watch. Can we stop Devin Hester? But on the Vikings side of the ball, you know, we get a look at Toby Gerhart from the start of a game to the finish of the game, and he's done well in Adrian Peterson's stead, where he's come in the middle of a game for an injured Peterson or a tired Peterson, or he started one game last year, but he's going to start this game from start to finish, and he's going to play a lot. He's probably going to get 20 carries. I think Vikings fans should watch with interest Toby Gerhart. Also, Christian Ponder looks like he's going to get the start. We want to see him drop back to pass. We want to see him try and knife through this tough Bears defense, a cover two defense. I think there's going to be some things that open up underneath for the Vikings with Percy Harvin Hartman, maybe Toby Gerhart. So it'll be fun to watch Toby and Christian, two young offensive stars for us.
And Jimmy Kleinsaucer, who was on the show right in front of you, it's his final game. You've been around here for several years now, and you know probably half of Jimmy Kleinsaucer's career.
Yes.
As a little wobby growing up, following Vikings football with Jim Kleinsaucer coming into the game in 1999, 45 seconds. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, a great guy to have around the facility. He treats staff members with respect. You have coffee with him in the morning. You sit in the locker room and just talk shop with him. A great guy to have around. Really down to earth and a fun guy. See him at the Christmas party and he remembers your wife's name. Those kinds of things that really kind of make you appreciate Jim Kleinsaucer. On the field, honestly, and I don't want to be nominated for a preposterous statement here, but one of the best blocking tight ends that you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
He really has been. And we've had a lot of 1,000-yard rushers here. He's blocked for most of them. Seven of the top eight single-season rushing performances, Jim Kleinsaucer has been on the team, and that's not a coincidence.
It's been a treat having you on Vikings Live at Winter Park this year. Thanks for your hard work.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
We thank Mike Wobshaw, all of the coaches here at Winter Park, the players who have taken time to join us, and, of course, head coach Leslie Frazier. The program during the season was produced by the likes of Joe Nelson, Jay Nelson, Ryan Donaldson, and more. And for all of us here at Winter Park, I'm Paul Allen. Vikings and Bears, Sunday at noon. Thanks for listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
This has been Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is presented by Sports Authority and has been brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings.